I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to start this morning. And I will warn you, it is a continuation of 3 weeks ago when I ended that message 3 weeks ago. I just felt like it wasn't finished. And if you're like me, some of you probably don't even remember what it was. Sometimes I can't even remember what I preached 3 weeks ago. But if you remember, it was about the body and how the body works and how as a church, as people, how we need every part of that body to function properly. As all of us know, there's parts of our body that we can live without. Actually, a couple years ago, I was having my struggle with my leg, I was frustrated because I wanted the doctors to go in and clean that last blood clot out, and they wouldn't touch it. And they finally told me why, and so I was having a conversation with Miss Mary Carver one afternoon, and I was explaining to her, because she knew I'd been in the hospital, and I said something about to the effect that the doctor said if they injure the vein, they can't fix the vein, and because of my condition, they would have to amputate my leg to keep me from bleeding to death. And I wasn't thinking when I said it, and she looks at me and says, "You can live without a leg." And she's lived without one leg for many years. And so, you know, you do adapt. You do learn to function, but it's not the way we like it to be. So this morning's message is a continuation. And I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 18 was the main text that morning. And the verse says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose." This morning's the title of my message is, "How much are you exercising?" And then underneath that, the question goes with, "How much are you exercising your gift?" At times, all of us wrestle with our gift. What is our gift? Where do we belong? How do we fit? I'm going to ask a question. And if you want to raise your hand, you can. If you're uncomfortable with that, you don't have to. And it's not really it's not a trick question. I'm not going to ask you to get up and reveal anything. But I would like to know, how many of you know what your spiritual gift is? Who's brave enough to raise your hands? Okay. How many of you don't know? It's okay. This is not going to be a question of, you know, if you don't know your gift, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But how many of you don't really know? Or how many of you are just not sure? There's two questions there. So how many of you are just not sure? Yeah. And that's not unusual. It's not unusual for us to just not be quite sure what your gift is. And I will tell you, one of the scariest things I ever did was take the test. And I hate those tests. Number one, they take way too long. And number two, I'm still not sure that I like what I see when I get there, because every gift has positives and negatives. And so when I see the negatives, I'm like, I don't want that. But the problem is I see myself. And I don't like that sometimes, because the negative comes out. But so what I want to say is, I think it's a good thing to study. And maybe that's something we need to maybe do a weekend on the gifts. Because I think it's a good thing to know at least somewhat what our gift is. Because it helps us understand who we are and how we fit. And the other part of that is one of the things that happens often when we talk about gifts is there can be a stigma with, and I'm going to use Carter here. Where's he at? There he is. I'm going to use Carter as my example this morning. Carter's our lawn man. He keeps the grass cut around here. And you know, I look at that, and the thing is, Carter's job, taking care of the yard, is as important as my job. There's no difference in the importance of those two jobs. And if we're not careful, we put levels on different gifts that are not, that shouldn't be. God never, in Paul's writings, he makes it very clear. No gift is better than the other. Some are more out there. Sometimes the gift that you have puts you out more. And some of you don't like that. And I get that. That's okay. It's not wrong. But what is your gift? Find it. Learn to know who you are and learn to know why you function the way you do. Because I think it is good to help us understand who we are. We're not going into that this morning. But there are three different types of gifts, and I'm just going to go through them quickly. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but just so you kind of understand what they are, there are ministry gifts. And someone described ministry gifts as the way God works with what believers do to serve others and meet their needs. It's how we minister, or administer the love, grace, and truth of God to others. The second one is manifestation gifts. And there is the manifestation gifts. There are some gifts that are named in the study that I did that are, they tend to lean, that the person that I studied tended to lean more on the charismatic Pentecostal side. So there were some gifts that they named that I would say are gifts but are not as dominant today, because they were more dominant during the early church history and are more dominant in areas where the gospel is new. But the manifestation gifts represent the work God does through the life of a believer in a given situation to demonstrate his supernatural power. And so there are some of them that overlap a little bit between the manifestation gifts and the motivational gifts. The motivational gifts serve to reveal the personality of God and provides a frame of reference through which the believer sees the needs of others. And I would say that probably more people would land in the motivational gifts, and the motivational gifts would be such as serving. And the thing is, all of the gifts, Paul is very clear, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, all of the gifts come under serving. So there's one major motivation that should happen when we understand what our gift is. We're going to be starting at Romans 12, and there's 4 points that we're going to be looking at. They are use them, empower, equip, and serve. That's the 4 things I want you to remember this morning as we go through this. And as you think of the title of how much are you exercising. In Romans 12, verses 4 to 8 is the first text. Paul says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then I want to back up then to verse 3, which I did not read. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So there's in verse 6, Paul says, We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it. And I'm picking out a short phrase here, and I'm saying that Paul is telling the people reading this that there's a gift that you've been given, and you need to use it. One of the things that I would, and I was going to go there in the beginning, but if you were to go to the doctor tomorrow and you fill out that 10-page questionnaire that has to do with everything that nobody really needs to know or care about, but one of the questions on there is, do you exercise? How often do you exercise? And there's a reason they want to know that, because that's going to tell them some things that maybe help them understand your physical condition. One of the things that we have discovered with Phyllis's condition is that there has been atrophy. And atrophy is when you don't use something, you tend to lose strength. You tend to lose use of it. And in our gifts, our spiritual gifts, it is the same thing. When we don't understand who we are, we don't understand how we operate, we back off and we tend to lose that gift that God has given us. Some people have a more natural gift, and some people have to develop their gift a little better. And then in verse 3, Paul says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And I'm reading into this, and later in one of the other texts that we're going to read in a minute, he talks about practicing and exercising our gift increases our faith. So if your faith is weak, maybe we need to look at something else instead of looking at God and saying, strengthen my faith. Maybe God wants us to do something to strengthen our faith. The second one is that God empowers. And that is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7, is the text we're going to use there. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So here we see in verse 11 on down. Oh, I didn't change it there. I'm supposed to read to verse 11. Sorry. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. In another translation, and I believe it's in the ESV, it actually says he empowers them. Referring to the Holy Spirit, Paul talks about the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts here, and what he says in that, and I believe the King James actually kind of leans that way too. I'm not sure why the NIV doesn't. But what he's saying is that God has given you a gift, and all of us at times feel inadequate to practice that gift. I don't care who you are, if you're human and you're breathing, you will feel inadequate at times to what God has called you to do. But he says that God, the Holy Spirit, will empower you to fill that role. In verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It is for the good of others that God has given us these gifts. And then in verse 11, here it is, in the ESV, I have it written here. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you power. to practice that gift, to exercise that gift. And in doing so, he will increase your faith as well. Turn to Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, and this is equipped. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. And again, I'm going back to the ESV on this one. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as God equips us, what's he doing in us? He's creating what he wants us to be. You see, if we don't exercise, we lose what God has given us. If I don't exercise, my body turns to something I don't want it to. It gets fat. And then when I overdo it, my foot still hurts. You know, I need to learn balance. But God empowers us and equips us for what he has called us to do. The fourth one is from 1 Peter 4, I didn't write my whole text here. So probably starting in verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. In verse 10, he says, you have received a gift. Use it to serve each other. Be good stewards of God's gift. And then in verse 11, the reason that he wants you to do that is to glorify God, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, Paul is talking to the church at Rome, and he says this, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." Sounds a little bit arrogant, doesn't it? But then listen to what he says in verse 12. "That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Paul wasn't just looking at what he had to offer. He was looking at what they had to offer to him. So let's walk back through some of the scriptures that we just covered. Romans 12, 1 to 3. Paul encourages the believer in verses 1 and 2 to offer themselves up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Why? Because it is your spiritual worship. To offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice is worship. And then in verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." He wants us to treat each other with humility. Second, it urges us to accept others and to use the gift God has given us. We are not to envy someone else's gift and regret that some other gift has not been given to us. We are to accept ourselves as we are and use the gift we have. The result may be that we have to accept the fact that service for us means some humble spear and some almost unseen part. 1 Corinthians 12:4, the gift you have given to you by God, and he will empower you to exercise, and I have in parentheses, to use it when you are called on to use it. Excuse me. Ephesians 4, it is God who gave you the gift you have, and he will equip you to use it for the building of the body of Christ. And then 1 Peter 4:10, be a good steward of the gift God has given you to glorify God. This is this next part is something that I found in my study, and it was titled Thought to Ponder. And I'm going to just read it as the author had written it. Are you a faithful steward of the spiritual gift God has so graciously entrusted to your care to use for his glory? Paul's words apply to all saints when he says, now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. As our Lord Jesus said, I am talking to any faithful, sensible servant to whom the master gives the responsibility of managing his household and feeding his family. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Jesus' words, I assure you, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. And in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 11, Jesus said, unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Having trouble with my teleprompter here. And again, Jesus said, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Paul made it very clear that we must not, and he doesn't make this optional, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one individually may be recompensed for his deeds in the body and how one has used his or her spiritual gifts or gift according to what he has done, whether good or bad, worthless, accomplished in our energy, not in the power of the Spirit, and ultimately for not for God's glory. So Paul and this writer ends that in saying, you know, and he quotes 2 Corinthians 5:10, where it says, we will be judged for what we do, whether good or bad, and how we handle what God has given us to do. So, in conclusion, a couple questions. And I think we all know the answer to them. And I just want to jog our thinking. And what am I doing? How am I handling the gifts that God has given me? What happens if you do not exercise physically? What happens if a pilot does not take the time to practice landings and takeoffs? What happens if a hunter doesn't target practice? You lose strength. The pilot won't be as sharp as you want him to be when he lands. And the hunter, with a bow and arrow, will most likely miss the bear. We must exercise. When we exercise our spiritual gift or gifts, it will increase our faith. The Holy Spirit will empower and equip you to exercise your spiritual gift. You have been given your spiritual gift to serve others, not to magnify yourself. And that's what I want to leave with us this week. What are you doing to exercise that gift? What are you doing to make that gift bigger in your life? And if you do, it will increase your faith. Junior, this morning we talked about why do we not see? How, you know, we see God's goodness back here, and we see God's goodness now, but then when there's this mounting, looming mountain over here, we're like, oh God, what are you going to do about that? Instead of saying, oh, I want to see how this happens. And that's normal. I'm not being, you know, I get it. I do that. I look at this over here and I'm like, oh boy, I'm not ready for that. But am I ready to see what God's going to do through His people? Am I willing to be used by God sometimes to move that mountain through the gifts that He has given me? And I just pray that this week you will be able to exercise your gift. Reuben, do you have a song? 163 in the folder. And you can stand. Father, we are this morning again grateful for the privilege to be here as a body of believers, as a group of family. And God, I pray that you would help us each to find our place, to know our place, and to be able to use the gifts that you've given us for the good of others and to exercise and to build your kingdom. God, every one of us has times in our lives when we're not sure what our gift is. We're not sure where we belong. We're not sure why you've given us the gift you have. But God, most of all, help us to focus on the fact that as we use and exercise the gift that you have given us, it will increase our faith. It will help us to see you in a whole new way, and that you will give us the strength. You will equip us. You have equipped us, and you will empower us to do what you have for us to do. Help us, Father, to not just see that here in this body, but to see it as we interact with our customers, as we interact with those who we work with, our co-workers, as we interact with the cashiers at Walmart or at the Circle K or wherever we are, to realize and recognize that we are servants of yours. And as we are servants of yours, we are servants of those around us. Give us the courage to be strong and to practice and exercise what you've given us to do. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forever. Amen.